Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Senator John Uckelberg, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Carl DeFebo with the PA Turnpike, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Trooper Jeff Petucci of the Pennsylvania State Police. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Well, as you've noticed, for the last several weeks, I have been traveling around an area which I have just learned is now called the 13th Congressional District. Now, we didn't have this before. We used to have the 9th, and then the 9th got moved, I don't know, somewhere, I guess John will tell me, to Reading or someplace. I don't know where it went. But it evaporated, and now we all are blessed to live in the 13th Congressional District, which is supposed to be better, fatter, fair, and who knows what. But it goes all the way from Westmoreland County all the way to the just the edges of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, just a little bit west of Carlisle. So it's a big, fat thing. And it goes all the way up into where we are now, Blair County, does it not, John? Yeah. Our guest is John Uckelberger, the senator from our area. He is our senator and many people's senator as we live in these various counties. And first of all, I want to welcome you. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me, Lloyd.
Well, I always enjoy, people say, you know, why don't you bring the guy over to the radio station? Well, actually, I like to go where you are. So it's just more fun to come to your office here. And that's where we are. We're in this insurance agency in Blair County here in downtown Altoona. How old is the insurance agency?
18 years old. I started this. I had worked in the business for 30-some years, but I bought this agency that I had created for somebody else as a branch office, and then I bought it in 2000. Yeah. So we've had it for 18 years.
Well, super. That's great. I mentioned to you my old man was in your business for a long time, and he was mostly an Aetna and Travelers guy. I don't even know if Aetna's still around.
Oh, yeah.
He used to talk about the Aetna. Always wondered why they did that, but they did. So, okay. Well, this is interesting. You're actually the first person I've talked to thus far who's actually done this. I mean, been an elected official. You were a county commissioner here in Blair County. You've obviously been a city senator here for a number of years. So you've kind of seen this and done this. So I guess my question to you is, why would you want to go and join the most dysfunctional governmental organization on planet Earth, the United States Congress?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot because people think that Washington is just a complete mess, and it is in a lot of respects, but Harrisburg is a problem too. So I'm accustomed to dealing with the chaos and the problems, the confusion and the sometimes the lack of direction we have as we work through issues. So I see that mimicked in Harrisburg, and but the problems aren't getting any easier. They're getting worse, more complicated. I think at this point in our history, we have to make sure that we're not heading the wrong direction. I think we were definitely heading the wrong direction under President Obama. Trump's agenda, I think, is very solid. There might be an item or two that not everybody agrees with, but I think most people in our area agree that cutting taxes is good, securing our borders is good, repealing Obamacare is good, strengthening our military is good. All those kinds of things that are important values and interests for our area are represented in the Trump agenda. We don't know how long he'll be in office. We don't know how long we'll have majorities in the House and Senate. So if we want to move the ball in the right direction and try to redirect the direction of our country, then we need to have good people there that understand the process and can get the job done.
Well, please don't make this sound pejorative on my part, but everyone says that. You know, elect me and I will fix everything that's wrong. You have 400 some people all saying that in the United States Congress. And I think as a consumer of this, as just a citizen of the area, I think we're all a little tired of hearing about how elect me will make things better, because things don't seem to get better. We just went through a budget thing where the president said he didn't even like signing the budget he signed. And Congress said they didn't like giving him the budget that they presented. So, like, who's in charge here, John?
Well, I was disappointed that they did that, I was surprised the president signed it, because the rumors were that we all heard through the media that the president probably would not sign it, but he did. I think that was a mistake, and I think I would have sent it back and said that you need to redo it. In this case, though, I mean, people do say that are there that they're doing a good job, but what we're talking about is a field of 8 people here.
Right.
Not everybody in this field can say that they can hit the ground running and try to move the ball down there. They can say, I have great ideas, put me in there, and I'm an untested quantity, but I promise you I'll do a good job. There's only 2 of us that have any legislative experience, and we can say, look at our records. That's a difference for people that are, looking at this field. They're going to pick somebody that either has a record that they agree with, or somebody they're willing to take a chance on that they're not really quite sure how they're fare whenever they're under pressure, when they have a lot of special interest pulling at them, when leadership tells them how to vote, when all those things happen. It's a lot easier to say back home, trust me, I'll do a good job, than it is when you're in there and you have all these pressures before you vote on something.
Everyone I've talked to at least thus far, I think, let me see, you would be about the third or fourth program here, has said, I'm a conservative, I'm pro-Trump, I love the country, I'm a veteran or I'm not a veteran, all of this. So if I was going to put you in that scale someplace, are you a conservative moderate, or are you a conservative hard guy, or... Is there any way to describe John Eichelberger in those kind of terms?
Well, again, there's only 2 of us that have any ratings from the national organizations. I have a 96 rating out of 100 from the American Conservative Union, highest rating in the Pennsylvania Senate. I have a 100% rating from Americans for Prosperity. They look at strictly economic issues. Some of us, again, have a record. We're tested. We know where we are. People can say, I'll be conservative. Trust me, when I get there, I'll do the right things. People that are interested in having a conservative person represent them that will vote the way they want them to vote, I've already proven that. And I chair the pro-life caucus in the Senate, so I'm deeply involved in a lot of the social issues, a lot of the family issues, dealing with not only abortion, but we get into all the transgender issues and all the issues associated with that, as well as, now a big issue is protecting our Second Amendment rights in this country. So we've been I chair the Education Committee in the Senate, so I've had a hearing on school security. We've worked to put a bill through. I've done interviews all over the state on a bill that we started last year, that was passed through the Senate last year, to allow school personnel to carry firearms after they get approval from the local district and they undergo training and background checks and so on, that they could carry a weapon at school. So there's a lot of things that some of us have worked on that can make a real difference in Pennsylvania and across the country.
Our guest is Senator John Eichelberger. I am here in Blair County in Altoona, and it's a very attractive office here, the insurance agency. And we're talking to him a little bit about his candidacy for the Congress of the 13th District. We have just a few weeks left in this campaign. Everything kind of came up very fast, didn't it? It was, all of a sudden we had a race, or no, we didn't have a race, and then all of a sudden we did have a race when Bill Schuster decided to quit. Here we are. We have all these Republicans and one Democrat running for this one seat. This may be the most populated race in some years, I would guess,
it
in
is.
This region.
Yeah.
Even under the new and improved 13th congressional district. So this is a real horse race. But as you pointed out, some of you are hitting the ground running because you either already are elected or already know something about this. And then we have others who are just kind of in it. We're not hearing too much from them. What is your base, John? I mean, if you had a base, if you were to say what it was, would you say it's all the people that have voted for you over the last several decades, I guess?
Certainly most people would define my base or any elected official's base as the people that support them over an area. And I'm fortunate that, very fortunate that the Senate district overlaps the congressional district, all of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So some people would be in a situation where maybe they'd be in the Senate and they'd run for a congressional seat, and part of their district is not outside the congressional district. But in my case, I am currently in five counties, and I was previously in Bedford County for about 7 years. So all the areas that I am in as a senator or was in as a senator, those areas are all in the 13th congressional district. So there's a lot of folks out there that know me. And hopefully, like me, I have a lot of relationships with people and organizations. I mean, I work closely with farm bureaus and chambers of commerce and other groups out there that regularly have activities and are active in the community. So that is something I've always appreciated, that you can attend these functions, meet a lot of people, get to know their problems and issues, and understand what they expect from their government.
You know, you can't see this on the radio, but John is wearing a pin that only people of my age would know what it is. It's called "I Like Ike," and of course, that was the slogan for President Eisenhower in 1952 and in 1956. So it's been a while since anybody's been wearing those buttons. Do most people know what that is? They probably don't.
A lot of people do. Yeah, a lot of people do. And I've used it since I've been running for office. And okay. It's a good slogan for me. I did have one lady, though. Funny story. I had a lady. I was going door to door in Altoona years ago, and she told me she wouldn't vote for me because I stole that from President Eisenhower. And I thought she was kidding, but she was not kidding. She was very angry that I had taken that slogan from him. So,
well, I have some more questions for you. And when we come back, I'd like to also let me know what you think Woody, your colleagues, is doing. We have interviewed Senator Wagner twice. Scott's a very colorful character.
He is.
And I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say about that. I think he's really serious about taking on this governor thing, and who knows, he might pull it off. So we'll see when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to Blair County, Altoona. I am here in Altoona. I've actually been here a couple of times. We had a very interesting interview, by the way, John, with the museum next door.
Trains.
That was tremendous. That was one of our first programs we did on the show.
That's a great museum.
It was a lot of fun. Well, I'm kind of a train nut anyway, so I really enjoyed that very, very much. You are now the senator, obviously, for this area in Harrisburg. Are there any commonalities you see that the kind of work you're doing right now in the Pennsylvania Senate and what you could be doing in the Congress? I know you work on things like state roads and so forth, but if you win, you'll be taking over the transportation behemoth of the world. A lot of the people have said to me that the new guy, whoever he is, will not come in with the clout that the Schusters had.
Yeah, well, I mean, anybody comes into the legislative body, they're not going to have the seniority, and seniority matters.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have that. That's no matter what.
Right.
That's just the way it works. What you need to have is the ability to make a good name for yourself when you go in, have knowledge, understanding of the process, terminology, how things work, the rules. All those things are critical. So when you get in, you can assimilate into committee work, do important things. And then, you know, you start to move the ball, you start to gain credibility, you advance your ideas and work with people so that they start to recognize that you are somebody they can rely upon for advice and strategy, and someone they can count on for votes, those kinds of things. Some people are smart. They get into positions and they're not very reliable. They'll tell people, well, I think I'm okay with this, and then they'll reverse it, that kind of thing. And people won't trust them then.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen in the state legislature in Harrisburg.
Really?
Some people just don't get that involved. They take the easy way out. They wait. They, they don't work in the committee. All these legislative bodies are committee-driven. So when you get there and when you get assigned to committees, that's where the real work gets done, because the committee process is supposed to flush out problems, and they're supposed to resolve as much as they can about disagreements in the bill before it gets to the floor. So that's what you do. So if you're at the committee, you work closely on a lot of issues that you just get more involved at committee level than you do on other things. So all those things are important, and you have to stand by your principles, of course, and represent the interests of your constituents and the certainly constitutional responsibilities that you have. But you've got to look at the issues and get into the details of things and make sure you understand them and make sure that you can articulate what your position is on things, and then you gain that respect and you gain more and more influence in the legislature.
I got a real close look at that. I ran a business in Chester County, Pennsylvania for many years. At that time, I was represented by Senator Dominic Pileggi and also Andy Dineman,
Andy,
who also was a former county commissioner. I knew him when he was county commissioner.
I did too. Yeah.
And both of these guys,
He's a judge now.
He's a judge, right?
Yeah.
Andy Dineman is like a constituent fanatic. This guy really is good at what he does, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he is.
And the same with Dominic. I mean, you could call him up day or night and he would do things. I think that's the reason I asked about this is I think that's what people want out of a congressman. Mm-hmm. They don't want him to be distant.
Right.
I mean, you're supposed to be the representative of the people as a definition of a congressman. So do I see you in that kind of role if you win this thing?
I mean, again, I have a track record of that. I average well over 300 events a year as a state senator that I attend in the district as a senator.
Right.
That doesn't count my wife and I going to church or going to a play or something like that. That is me being invited to a meeting, to speak somewhere, a parade, do something where I'm invited as an official to be at some event. So that's over 300 a year. And then I'm in Harrisburg about 70 or more days a year. I have other places that I go for hearings and things like that around the state. But in the district right now, I do over 300. So people can tell you from Bedford County, when I was a senator there, I was in Bedford County very, very frequently. I mean, more than weekly. You know, I was there a couple days a week. I did whatever. And you meet with constituents. You do all sorts of things. But you participate in the community. You attend functions and go places, you know. All the things that are important to an area, you have to make sure that you're part of that. So you understand the fabric of the community, why people think the way they do, how the economy works, what their social problems are, how important agriculture is in an area, other business sectors, all those things. You just can't pick up a newspaper and learn that. You've got to immerse yourself in the activities of a community and talk to people when you're there so that you hear the stories and the pain and the success stories and everything in between.
Well, it's a tough job. 300 kind of gives me the chills. I mean, that's a lot of work.
So it is. It's a lot of work.
You do that much.
7 days a week.
I
mean, you're you know, that's what you do. That's what I've always done. Yeah. Not everybody does that, but I think that's important. I think that's how you become somebody in government that can respond correctly.
There are many, many House bills that come up before the Congress.
Yeah.
And one of them caught my eye the other day as I was preparing for this program. And don't worry, no one's heard of this. It's called House H.R. 3388, and it discusses the self-driving trucks. the Uber kind of trucks. And Pennsylvania is a big trucking place.
Yes.
We have big trucking roads, the Turnpike, I-80, I-70, all the Turnpike roads we have. And the bill is examining the fact that whether or not we should even have these things. What would your opinion be on that, to have a truck go down the Turnpike or Route 30 or something with no driver in it?
Well, I think that we're going to have that. I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, we see that impact being discussed. We see that impact being discussed with education. You and I were talking. I chair the Education Committee in the Senate. I'm a very big advocate for vo-tech education, and we're losing skilled workers across mm-hmm. the state at a high rate. For every 5 we lose today, we only have 2 that come in. So we've got to make sure that we're getting enough people into those good-paying jobs. But some of the schools are looking at, should we continue to have CDL programs at our schools? Because long-term, we don't think those people have a career at that.
Yeah.
They'll work out in another 10, 15, maybe 20 years, and then after that, maybe there won't be any jobs.
Well, that's what struck me. It certainly is an obsolescence issue.
It is.
Because all of a sudden, there's a huge need for truck drivers.
Absolutely.
And 10 years from now, there may not be a need at all.
That's can happen.
So, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, too. I think everybody that I'm aware of tells me that this is happening.
So it's John Henry and the steam drill all over again. Here he goes. Here
yep.
we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to mention to you, and I actually heard this from the citizens of Breezewood. There has been much discussion about moving the interchange from where Breezewood is down to where Route 70 intersects. And PennDOT and the Turnpike really want to do this. And Bill Schuster said in an event that I attended and we recorded, said as long as he was the congressman, that would not happen. Well, he's not going to be the congressman anymore. So what do you think of that, moving that interchange completely?
Yeah, that's always a concern. It's been there for years, and there's been discussion about it. But I haven't heard anything for a while, a number of years. I don't think, I mean, the investments there with the community, I mean, we all know we go through Breezewood. I mean, go through it a lot.
Yeah, right.
I mean, several days a week or more I'm through Breezewood. And I just don't see that. I just haven't heard about it for a long time. I don't think it's on the table anymore for serious discussion.
Because it's the same issue as they have in Carlisle with I-81. They have that little piece of road between the Turnpike and 81, so everybody can travel through that little piece of a lane to use the commerce, which is what this whole thing in Breezewood's about. If they move it, everything's going to have to move with it.
Yeah.
Move hotels, move truck stops and everything.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. It would be a tremendous burden.
So we're talking about
a
big change.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. I'm not asking you to look into the future, but we'll see. We'll see what that's going to be like. If you are, in fact, elected congressman, what committees would you like to be on?
I have interest in taxation policy and economics. Education is something that I've really been involved with the last couple of years in the Senate. And I have before that, but now that I chair it, it's something that I do on a daily basis in the Senate. Good government reform, and they have a committee on governance and reform in the House of Representatives that is something that probably would be one of my top asks. Of course, you don't, as you probably know, you just don't choose. The speaker decides where you'll be.
Right.
And there's lots of people that would want to be on certain committees, and they just don't get there. Maybe eventually they do after they get some seniority.
Well, sometimes everyone has a specific interest or skill.
Yeah.
For example, education. You're going to have this education committee thing in Bedford in the courthouse.
Yeah.
So you're obviously interested in that. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
So you see where you could do some good there, though.
I do. Yeah. I think, we have a lot of issues with federal policy on education. We just went through a new federal program this year that the states all had to submit a plan for. I was objecting to the plan that our Commonwealth was submitting. I sent a letter to Secretary DeVos, Betsy DeVos, the United States Secretary of Education, and corresponded back and forth with her on Pennsylvania's plan. They did make some changes to our plan based on our letter, but not enough. I would like to see a few more. But there's a lot of issues and a lot of money. 42% of our state budget goes to education. So it's a major issue for everybody from the local level where the school districts are to the state to the federal government. So
it seems to be definitely out of control. We have this huge pension crisis in Harrisburg.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That you deal with every day.
Yeah.
And they're going to have the same thing at the federal if they get involved in this somehow.
Yeah.
And now we have what's core thing, the core
the
thing.
The Common Core
they
curriculum.
They want to tell you how to teach your children.
Oh, well, that's the way it is now,
this
yeah.
This kind of stuff. And so do you think as a congressman you might be able to pull some of that back and say, you know, wait, stop, everybody time out. We're going to try to run our schools the way we always did when the teachers in the school actually made the decisions?
Yeah. Well, I think that's where we need to be. You need another voice, again, that understands the system, that's worked in that government system and can make valid points and try to move the ball the right direction.
If I could ask you to maybe have a 30-second elevator speech on why you want to be a congressman, what would it be?
I've always wanted to be somebody that was making the decisions in Washington. It's a very important position to have. It's an honor to be there. I think that my background and experience is geared for that opportunity. Somebody that worked in local government where we delivered the services that policymakers in Washington deliberate, social service agencies, all those things are delivered at the county level. Elections are delivered at the county level. So many of operations of government are really executed by counties. And then working in the state level and looking at a broader view of policies and issues. That would help me with the discernment that's necessary and staying on the right path, because one thing you learn when you're in a legislature is how many distractions you have, how many people are pulling at you every day. You cannot walk down the hallway as a state senator in Pennsylvania at the Capitol without lobbyists stopping you. I mean, it's just part of what you do when you leave your office to go to a meeting or anything, you'll be stopped. And people are very nice. People, are often very good resources for you. Sometimes you need to ask them questions about bills and what their industry. They represent different people. Talk about trucking. People there represent the trucking industry. Well, you know, we're not all truckers. So I may have a question or two about how things operate. I might need to ask that person something. We're not all nurses. We're not all chemical engineers, architects, all those things. They all have groups that come down and represent them. So we need their input, but you also have to have the ability then to discern what's best and make an independent judgment about how what's best for the people of Pennsylvania.
I made up a new word. I don't know if it's new or not, but it's new to me. And my word is called Congressitis. It seems to be a disease that people get when they go to Congress, especially for the first time.
Right.
Everybody there is calling them yes sir, no sir. They're holding doors for them. And if you think lobbyists are chasing you now, wait till you be a congressman.
Yeah.
What is going to prevent you from getting congressitis that so many people have caught this terrible, terrible disease?
Well, again, I'm one of the only couple that's in this field of eight that can show that I haven't changed since I've been in the state legislature for 12 years. I've seen friends of mine go into the state legislature. Within 4 to 6 months, you don't recognize their personality. Totally different people. Like you said, they think they're the most important person on the sidewalk.
Right.
And that just always bothers me. People that have these entourages when they go to a meeting. I mean, I'm driving my pickup truck. I go to an event somewhere. I'm in. I'm out. I talk to the folks on the way in. It's just the way I was raised. So I'm 59 years old. I don't think if I haven't changed at this point, and I've been under those pressures, I'm not going to change in Washington.
Well, I hope you're right. It would be refreshing, I assure you. Senator Eichelberger, you've been terrific. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I know you're a busy guy. In fact, I know you're a busy guy. I see this insurance agency. You go to all these meetings. I mean, you're going to have to go to your 301th meeting today or something.
I just left the Veterans Service. So, there's always places to go. And I've got to go meet some other folks today and try to get some work done, too.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, thank you again. It was really great to have you. Did I miss anything that you
No, you did. You did a great job,
okay,
Lloyd.
Well, thank you very much.
Real honor to be on your show.
Okay, thank you. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.